hanging in there. Yep.
All right, everybody. I'm sure you're anxious to get home too, so.
Bonner, chase around.
We can sit down. If you'd like to take a seat, if you'd like to come and sit down again, please do so. So now we're going to move on to our candidate forum for the Rural Healthcare District Board. There are six candidates running for three seats, and the three successful candidates will join Marilyn Connolly and Marie Miller on the board. The candidates are Brittany Camino, Tom, also known as Tiddle Camino, Mark Haynes, who's an incumbent, Jim Hicks, also incumbent, Adam Michelina and Mark Schuler. Tiddle Camino, Mark Haynes and Jim Hicks did not reply to the invitation to participate in this forum and are not present. So we welcome Brittany Camino, Adam Michelina and Mark Schuler. And with that, I'll pass over to Aaron, who will ask you some questions.
Candidates, good evening. How many questions do we have? Quite a few. We'll get through it as quick as we can. All right, first question. 2 minutes each for each of you, and we'll start off with Ms. Camino. And the first question is, what previous qualifications or experience do you have that would benefit this position? 2 minutes.
Sure, thank you. I have been a nurse for 15 years, and within that time, I have received 2 graduate degrees in healthcare. I have a master's degree in nursing, and I just recently, in February, passed and obtained my doctorate degree in nursing practice. With those graduate degrees, I also had to demonstrate competence in leadership, and especially leadership in healthcare. And so I believe I have the qualifications not only as a professional healthcare worker within the community, but I also have the leadership qualifications. And I believe that running for the Rural Health Board, you need to be a leader. You're a leader in the community because you have people's lives in your hands, essentially. The decisions that you make can affect a life. And so with those, with my past healthcare experience, I've been, like I said, a nurse for 15 years. I taught nursing at Sheridan College for over 7 years. And I currently teach nursing online in RN to BSN programs. And so I believe with my leadership skills and my professional qualifications, I can bring a breadth of experience to this position.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Michelina, you have 2 minutes. Same question.
Yeah. Thank you, Aaron. First of all, I was a EMT here locally for about 7 years. I'm very passionate about the ambulance service in our community and well-versed in how it runs. I know it's changed drastically in the last few years in response to a lot of things we're seeing nationally, and a lot of those are challenges in EMS itself. So do have some background there. I am very involved in the community on some other nonprofit boards. I currently sit as president of the Buffalo Golf Club board. I'm secretary for the board for the Johnson County YMCA, and I'm president for Joey's Fly Fishing Foundation. So I do take my community service very, very seriously, and make sure I have the time to devote, and I make sure to devote it to things that I do care about and am passionate about. So.
Okay, thank you. Yep. And excuse me, would you prefer Dr. or Mr. Schuler?
Either one's fine.
Okay, Mr. Schuler, okay. Since you're retired or close to it. Same question, 2 minutes.
In 1992, when Fred Thanel left, I don't know how many of you remember him, he had been the previous medical director for the ambulance, and he told me that I needed to take over. And so as the new kid, that was one of my responsibilities. And that's a role where you help to train and establish competency in the ambulance attendants. And we've been meeting quarterly since then. So for 30 years, I've worked with training ambulance people and reviewing cases. And working in the emergency room, I see the people they bring in and how they've been managed. And So I've had a lot of experience with our ambulance service. I've worked with both of these other candidates as well, and I have a high degree of respect for their integrity and their medical experience. I've worked on the state EMS task force until it was disbanded. This was a group of healthcare and business people who oversaw ambulance services across the state and approved or disapproved of different service requests as they came about throughout the state of Wyoming. And I've been involved in our healthcare system and the hospital and on the board for about 8 years now. So I have some understanding of the medical system, the ambulance system, and our community, and feel like I can provide some insight and help the board do the best for the ambulance and the community.
Very good. Okay. Question number two, we will start off with Mr. Michelina. And the question is, do you have a specific reason for running at this time?
Yes, I guess a lot of what we've seen from Rural Healthcare District in the last couple years, whether it's on Facebook, in the news, I feel like a lot of that's been for the wrong reasons. I feel like the focus has been on opposing viewpoints and opposing sides more than it is on the priorities of what the Rural Healthcare District should be doing. And first and foremost, that should always be about the patients. Secondly, about the personnel that's taking care of those patients, doing that fiscally responsibly. There's always going to be different viewpoints, but I think my motivation was to try to eliminate the sides and kind of bring more collaboration to the board and kind of try to move forward a little more positively than it has seemed to have been going in the past.
Okay. Mr. Schuler, 2 minutes.
I would agree with Mr. Michelina that the relationship between the board and the ambulance service has not been healthy or cooperative, and I think the board's responsibility is to see that tax money is utilized responsibly and leadership is doing their job, not to rework the system, not to redesign, or to try to fix a system that isn't broken. In 2020, there was a review of our ambulance service that was commissioned by our county and the state at a cost of $30,000 of taxpayer money. I think it was highly complimentary, and a lot of that report has been disregarded, and I don't think we've followed the guidelines that were recommended by that report. I'm very concerned about the staff of our ambulance and maintaining a competent staff with experience who know the community and know the people. And those people are becoming very hard to find. We can't afford to do anything that discourages or makes it harder to recruit and retain staff. It needs to be an extremely supportive and collaborative environment, or we run the risk of losing our ambulance service, which recently just happened in Sheridan, and they're starting over with a new system. I think we need to take serious note of what happened there and not let that happen here.
Thank you. Ms. Camino, 2 minutes.
My family roots run deep in Johnson County. And with that and my passion for healthcare and my passion for making sure that the community residents of Casey and Buffalo are well served, that is the reason that I'm running. I want to make sure that the ambulance, when someone calls an ambulance, they know that the ambulance is going to get there. And they don't think that it's going to be 30 minutes later that an ambulance gets there, or the ambulance might not get there at all. And so I want to make sure that we continue to provide support to our EMTs and The one thing that I found kind of interesting with all of this is that with the Wyoming State Legislature, EMS services are not essential. It is not an essential service in Wyoming, and that is questionable to me. You are saving people's lives, and it's not considered essential. So we lose funding. We don't have funding available like we should. And I just think that as a board, we need to rally around what we have as an EMS service, and we need to continue to provide the support that they need to continue to run. And that is the reason that I'm running.
Thank you. Okay, next question. We will start off with Mr. Schuler. The board is developing plans for a new designated ambulance barn at the Johnson County Fire location on North Bypass. What is your opinion on that proposal? 2 minutes.
Well, most communities have an ambulance barn. Many are privately run. Some are owned by the hospital. And Buffalo has a unique arrangement. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad arrangement. It's been effective. And it's allowed a number of people who are working on the ambulance to be full-time employees having other jobs. The county's paying rent in the form of a subsidy for those buildings. Currently, at today's prices, that's a good deal. If you look at land and construction and maintenance of a new facility, I think it's going to be more expensive. You can argue that at some point we'll have to replace the current system with another one and we'll need a facility. But I don't think you can argue that it's a good deal at this point in time. I don't think we need to be in a hurry. I don't think it's a priority. It's just simply one item that will need to be dealt with at some point in time.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Camino, 2 minutes.
As Dr. Schuler had mentioned earlier, there's a company that came in called Safe Tech, and they did an evaluation of our current ambulance service. And that evaluation noted that the current ambulance service that we have, which is provided through the private entity of Buffalo EMS, is sustainable in the long term. Okay, so that means in the future, Buffalo EMS can still continue to operate and effectively provide healthcare, rural healthcare needs to Johnson County. Now, that Safe Tech also mentioned that there were some opportunities for growth within the Buffalo EMS and some things to consider. My question with the barn that's going to possibly be built in the future is I appreciate looking into the future and the possible needs. But what I question more is that it's going to cost the taxpayers money for this. There was a grant that was awarded, but that grant needs to be matched. There's a lot of unanswered questions, I think, within this barn that's going to occur. As Dr. Schuler stated, it is very difficult to find EMS staff right now. One draw that we have right now with EMS staff is they can continue to be a mom and a wife and a husband and a dad and be home with their family. It is going to be difficult with this barn and running two EMSs and a possible paramedic 24/7. It is interesting to see the amount of EMS staff that are currently on to say, are you willing to be away from your family? Or this, you will probably have to give up your career because you now have to be stationed at a barn 24/7. And so there's just a lot of unanswered questions that I think we don't know yet about the barn. And I think, versus looking at ways we're spending taxpayers' money in a dwindling economy, we should be looking at ways to support what we already know is working and that has been proven to be sustainable in the long term.
Thank you. Mr. Michelina, two minutes.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't agree with both of those responses more. I'm not opposed to having a plan, having a separate facility down the road. I do think what we have works for now. If that doesn't work in the future, we want to have something in place or something different, that is fine. I do think that location, and I think that was a big area that was questioned initially besides the investment, was that that location wasn't ideal. I do think there would be better locations that should have been looked at and still should be looked at. As a former EMT, response time when we were on call was a huge factor, and even getting to the centralized location we have was difficult in the time you needed to. And so you put it even further away from a lot of the housing in town. Response time would be a big factor. No traffic studies and things like that were done, so that's worrisome in my opinion. Also always been bothered by the fact that taxpayers essentially bought that land twice. It was purchased by County Fire, and it was purchased again by the Rural Healthcare District. That was bothered me. And the model to fill that facility, again, like Brittany said, I think there's a lot of unanswered questions. If they want EMT sitting there all day, every day, that might not necessarily not work, but it wouldn't have been conducive to my lifestyle. I wouldn't have chosen to give my time and work here as an EMT for 7 years if that was the case. So again, I think we have a model that works. I think we need to look to the future on how we sustain this, but I think there needs to be some more homework done.
Thank you. Next question, we will start with Ms. Camino. The greatest challenge to EMS nationwide is the lack of people willing to become certified and serve as EMTs. What would you do to encourage local people to serve in Johnson County? You have 2 minutes.
I think one of the biggest things that we need to do to promote people to serve is, right now I think that they feel sort of that their job is somewhat thankless in a way, because I'm not sure how well the EMS staff is supported by the current Rural Healthcare Board. And I don't mean, so by support, I just mean appreciated and that their efforts do not go unrecognized. And sometimes I think it's easy to forget about that. And one thing that I think we need to do better to attract more people is just to prove just how much they are worth to us. What they see every day, what they do every day is not something that, you know, the car wrecks that they've come upon, the things that they've done, it's not something that's really attractive to a lot of people. And the pay is low. And so I think one of the biggest things that we need to do to, keep who we have and bring more people in is just to offer that support as a board and to just say, like, we are here to support you, and however we want to do that. We need to start recognizing their efforts a little bit more and commending them for the job that they do.
Thank you. Mr. Michelina, 2 minutes.
Yes, thank you. I agree with those comments. I think there could be more appreciation showing to the help there. Also, you know, really investing in our current personnel, but figuring out how we do recruit and train new talent, and I think that goes back to a lot of the things that was discussed with the city council. We need to figure out a way to bring young people, and it's not just young people, but EMTs and people that are willing to do this job into the community. And I think the hybrid model that we currently have makes that a lot more doable, that they can have other jobs, be on call, and still feel like they're being public servants and still being compensated for that.
Okay. Mr. Schuler, 2 minutes.
I'd like to build a little on the compensation that Mr. Michelina referred to. Wages are going up. If you can't pay what McDonald's pays, you probably won't get anybody to work for you. And I think we need to anticipate that EMTs have a hard job. There's stress. It's a difficult schedule. Without a competitive wage, we will run out of staff. So I anticipate the need to pay at a minimum what the average market rate for an EMT would be. Our system's been very efficient. If you look at what we provide and the cost to the county for the subsidy provided by the Rural Healthcare Board, it's quite a good deal. And if you look at what patients who use the ambulance service are charged, that's also a bargain. So I appreciate that, but I think we have the ability to compensate our staff in a more competitive way. I'd also like to recognize the enormous effort that's been made by Dave Harness and his crew to teach EMTs. In the last 20 years, they've put on 17 basic responders or EMT classes, and each of those classes takes about 5 months of 2 to 3 evenings per week. So it's not only an enormous commitment for an EMT, but the teachers who do this on an almost yearly basis. And when we used to have 20 people interested in taking a class, we now have about 5. And so through attrition, it's becoming more challenging to find those people to take the course and be qualified. It would be important to attract high school students who also would have a chance to enter the workforce at an earlier age. Sorry, I went over, but I
forgot for 30 seconds. Sorry. I was tuning away for a second.
All right, next question. We'll start with Mr. Michelina. And what is your opinion on the value of paramedics for the KC and Buffalo Ambulance Services? 2 minutes.
The value of paramedics within those services?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a slippery slope and some, you know, a topic that I've discussed quite a bit with both of the other candidates here and learned a lot from Dr. Schuler. They refer to it as the paramedic paradox, and it's a higher level of training. We talk about the time commitment it is for basic and advanced EMTs, and a basic EMT, I think, puts in something like 130 hours to be certified. It's like 140 hours, additional hours, to be an advanced EMT. Paramedics, it's 2,000 hours. So substantially more education and time investment. Well, you got to compensate that higher level of training. So you're paying them more, but you can only bill that out if paramedic services are used on a call. And most of the time, for 99% of the calls that Buffalo EMS and the KC Ambulance does, they're basic services. So you're paying these people higher dollars, and you're not bringing in more money for that. And so it's a tough model to adapt in smaller communities. And I think it would be something to be very delicate with in our town and make sure we have those answers, whether it's fiscally responsible and sustainable to have paramedics within our service.
Thank you. Mr. Schuler, 2 minutes.
Well, I'll make a couple comments. One, when you've worked with a system for 30 years, you try to make it the best, and you try to make it fit the needs of your community. And you hope that what you've done is working. And I think it's true that it is. Which means if we needed paramedics, we should have had them already. But we don't. I reviewed the last 100 ambulance runs that the Buffalo Ambulance Service reported to the state system to see how many of those runs would have benefited from a paramedic level skill set. There were 2 cases out of 100 where advanced airway techniques may have been helpful. Not likely would have changed the outcome, but the other 98 runs, there was no indication for paramedic level skills. In an urban setting where you're running 8, 10, 12 runs a day and you have people who are doing this all the time, you can maintain proficiency in advanced level skills. If you don't have enough experience to do them on a regular basis, the likelihood of doing them properly and safely goes down. So for the reasons of cost and the fact that our needs are being met currently with EMTs, and as Mr. Michelina stated, it's extremely hard to add that many more hours of training. It's a bad idea for Johnson County.
Thank you. Ms. Camino, 2 minutes.
As the other two candidates have stated, the percentage of calls that require paramedic services are pretty low. With that being said, as Mr. Michelina stated, it's 2,000 hours to become a paramedic. We currently have a really hard time finding EMTs. So it's going to be really difficult to find a paramedic who's willing to be dedicated to 2,000 hours of learning. And the other thing that has to happen is you have to have continuing education hours when you become a paramedic. And you also have to have a certain number of practice hours. So what happens is if you are not the one on call when a paramedic service is needed, you could go months without ever using your paramedic skills, which is troublesome when it comes to you don't want to be the first patient that paramedic has used that skill on in quite some time. And so that is troublesome to think about. And then obviously a paramedic service is going to cost taxpayers more money as well, because they are going to be paid at a higher level. The other problem that happens is on the backside of everything, and that's in terms of reimbursement. If a paramedic was on a call and paramedic services were not rendered, we don't get reimbursed for those paramedic services at the paramedic wage level. So we're losing money, essentially, if a paramedic goes out and paramedic services aren't needed. And so I think with the percentage of calls that need a paramedic service, that is something that we really need to be cognizant of as we move forward with this new proposed model.
Thank you. Okay, next question. We'll start off with Mr. Schuler. Are there specific actions or proposals by the current Rural Healthcare District Board with which you either agree or disagree? 2 minutes.
Well, I think you've covered the most provocative issues already. So I don't have any further items that I can bring to mind. I would say our first priority should be maintaining the staff we have and recruiting new workers as we need them. And secondly, we want to provide a service that's cost-effective for the taxpayers. And I think we can do it without asking for more tax money. I think the current 2 mils comes close to meeting the subsidy that's required. It's a money-losing business. And I think if the board does everything in their power to help the service retain workers, that would be the first priority.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Camino, 2 minutes.
I don't look at things in terms of disagreement, because sometimes I feel like that sort of places blame on things. I like to think of it as opportunities for growth. What are things that the Rural Health Board has that is an opportunity for growth? As I mentioned before, I think an opportunity for growth is showing better support to our Buffalo EMS crew that we currently have. Mental health is a big thing, and the Buffalo EMS staff and any first responder sees a lot of things that sometimes you can't get out of your head. As a past ER nurse, there are mass casualties that have come in that I will never forget. And I think that it is important as a board that I don't think it's just necessarily up to Buffalo EMS administration. I think it's up to the board to provide mental health support to the Buffalo EMS staff, because it takes a toll on you mentally and emotionally. And one of the biggest reasons why a lot of people are leaving is because they're burnt out. They've seen a lot of things they don't want to see again. They don't want to go on another car wreck. And so I think that it is an opportunity for growth for us, is that support. And sometimes I think it can be something as simple as showing up to their place of employment with a coffee and a Buffalo Bucks gift card that says, hey, I know you just went on a pretty bad call. Here we are. We want you to know that we support you and your services are not unrecognized. And so I think that is sort of an opportunity for growth that I see within the board.
Okay. Thank you. Next question. Excuse me. Pardon? Oh, did I skip you?
It's okay.
Sorry about that. Mr. Michelina, 2 minutes. Same question.
Thank you.
Yeah, kind of to agree with Brittany. Again, a big motivation for me is to kind of eliminate the perception of sides, and I think it's very apparent in the community. So, you know, if I were elected to serve, I would be excited and honored to just get involved with these issues and be a part of the conversation and hopefully a part of the solution on some of these. You know, we've talked about the ambulance, the property purchase. I think there's still some work to be done there. Paramedics, I think that's a, you know, a tough line, but to have those conversations is you know, it's needed to make sure we're sustaining the service and planning correctly for the future. So the fact that the conversations are being had and isn't a bad thing, just would be happy to get involved and see if we can keep this thing going in the right direction and not only sustain it, but, you know, really help it thrive. So.
Okay, thank you. And again, I apologize. I skipped you.
It's okay. Yeah.
All right, now we'll move on to the next question. We'll start with Ms. Camino. And the question is, should you be elected, consider the end of your term. What would you hope to have accomplished at the end of your term?
Sure.
2 minutes.
One of the biggest things that I would have hoped to accomplish that I would hope that the Buffalo and Casey residents can say is that I made sound, rational decisions based on evidence that met the needs of the community. That I made fiscally responsible decisions without jeopardizing the care that is currently being delivered. I think that's important. We all want to be fiscally responsible, but we can't be fiscally responsible at the cost of a life. And I think that's where this board becomes a little bit different than other boards, is that we essentially really do have lives in our hands, and the decisions that we make could affect a family member of mine. It could mean that they don't get the care that they should get, and they don't get the ambulance care that they need. And so that is my hope, if I get elected, that at the end people say that based on my healthcare experience and just sound, rational judgment, that effective, compassionate care was constantly delivered.
Good. Thank you. Mr. Michelina, 2 minutes.
Yeah, I would hope to leave the board more collaborative, but really making sure the time I served, if I had the honor to do so, that every decision and conversation I had and was involved in really stemmed from the patients first and foremost. And I think every action, I think, trickles down from there. It's you have to have good people and good personnel in place. You have to invest in those people to make sure the patients are being taken care of. Then those EMTs and first responders need to have proper, up-to-date equipment so they can do their jobs. That's defibrillators, the ambulances, you know, things within the ambulance, and I think that's more important than the structure that houses the ambulance. My 7 years, the only times I spent in an ambulance barn was running in, jumping in, you know, opening the garage door, running in, and driving out. So I don't see a huge need for a fancy facility, you know, with the current model. And again, things change, but I think those need to be the priorities and the fiscal, being fiscally responsible with the money and prioritizing where that money's going. And first and foremost, it needs to be to sustaining the current model and taking care of the patients at the highest quality we can.
Thank you. Mr. Schuler. 2 minutes.
Well, I would hope at the end of my term that we were able to maintain what we have, that we had a timely response with people who did their jobs well and patients who felt taken care of and felt safe. I see changes going on around us. I see small towns being taken over by larger organizations. I hope that on my watch that doesn't happen to Buffalo or Casey.
Okay, thank you. Those are the questions. Now, Here's the opportunity for rebuttals or specific additional comments that you guys would like to make that we didn't maybe cover. So you've heard each of your opponents speak. Any points that you would like to address that they said, or anything that you would like to address on your own, this is your opportunity, and you have 2 minutes. Anybody care to do so?
I think one of a need that I think is unrecognized is the quality of stakeholders that we have in the community, and I think we need to do a good job of involving those stakeholders. Stakeholders in the community to me include Johnson County Healthcare Center, and Buffalo EMS staff, and the residents of Johnson County's So if a new model gets proposed, it is going to affect the ambulance service that is provided at the hospital. So in the ER, you could call for an ambulance for a transfer of a patient, and that ambulance might not come from Buffalo. It might come from somewhere else. And that's going to essentially affect the care that we provide in the ER. And so I think it is really important that we involve the hospital with decisions because they are experts in the healthcare delivery, and they see that the changes that are occurring in rural healthcare. And so they bring valuable aspects that we need to consider, that they don't currently have a vote, but we can consider the aspects that they bring and the experience that they provide. Buffalo EMS staff needs to be stakeholders. They live and breathe this every day. They should be a part of the decisions that are made on the board because those decisions affect them. And so I think we need to, again, look at just overall a greater involvement of stakeholders because they are a big part of the decisions that are made, and they are affected by the decisions that are made.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic point. I think, you know, the systemic involvement of the hospital and other agencies is a huge factor in that, but I would agree even more so that the community needs to be educated on how the rural healthcare district and the ambulance service runs. And I think a lot of people take it for granted. Going back to ambulances are not classified as essential services by the state of Wyoming, and a lot of small towns in Wyoming do not have ambulance services. And there's no guarantee when they call for an emergency, life-threatening, that an ambulance is going to come at all. And I think it's good to know why there's always room for improvement, and that's the goal. If we're not looking to constantly improve, we're not doing, you know, no one's doing their jobs. But it's valuable to note that our current ambulance runs at 100% hit ratio. That Buffalo EMS, I know for a fact, has responded to 100% of their calls forever. In my 7 years, there was never a call that was missed, and that, you know, that's something I took for granted. I think this community takes for granted. Once you realize other communities don't have that, and there's ambulance services that are responding to 50% of calls, 60% of calls, or maybe far less. And so it's something that everyone needs to be aware of. It is an immense asset we have in our community. It's something we need to not take for granted, and we need to keep pushing forward to keep improving it and making sure it doesn't go away. And I would like to just say how much respect I have for both of these candidates, and I'm excited that they put their names in the hat for this as well.
All right. Mr. Schuler.
Well, I've noticed there are a lot of Caminos running for office. That's mostly a good thing. I guess there's a lot of talent there.
And a lot of Caminos.
I recently had the opportunity to participate in a community event, The Right Road, that was presented to the high school students. And what struck me the most about the whole operation was that 111 volunteers showed up. This is a community with a lot of very talented and conscientious people who contribute to make it great. And one of the biggest contributors was Dave Harness, who had a lot of staff, a lot of equipment, and a lot of time invested. He's extremely knowledgeable, and he's worked hard for 40 years in this community, and we're very lucky to have him. And I want to support him in every way I can. I think there's been some separation or distance between the Buffalo and the KC Ambulance Service. And for a number of years, I worked with both, but there was not a lot of collaboration. I don't know if that's possible, but I think it's a good goal that we can work together. We all have similar objectives, and we have one board that oversees both services. So I think that's also something that we could do better with. Overall, I'm very grateful for what service we have, and I'm glad to see people willing to help contribute.
Thank you. One last item, closing statements. This is your opportunity to address the voters of Johnson County and just make your peace with them. We'll start going alphabetical order. We'll go with Ms. Camino first.
I'm passionate about healthcare. I live and breathe healthcare. I am passionate about Johnson County and the residents of Johnson County. And so I want to be able to provide that voice of professional experience and leadership and lead the board to ensuring that, as I mentioned, competent, compassionate healthcare is delivered to rural areas. And that when you call an ambulance arrives with competent staff to care for you. And that is my goal with this, and that is what I'm running for, and I would appreciate your vote.
Thank you. Mr. Michelina.
I think I've touched on most of the high points I wanted to cover, and again, just feel that there is a need to really establish some better collaboration on this board. Honestly, you know, the political aspect of this, or the fact that it is a political board, was one of the deterrents, to be honest. And I think that needs to be addressed. If I were to serve, is that, you know, that I think that's a goal of this board, is that it should be depoliticized more than it has been. I again, that should come back to focusing on the patients and focusing on having people to take care of our community and our family members and, you know, our neighbors in times of emergency. So it serves an important role in this town. I'm very invested in and care a lot about this community, and I'd be honored to serve if chosen, and appreciate the time tonight.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Schuler.
I think I'm all talked out.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much, candidates, for your full answers. I'd like to open it up now to a period of public question. If anybody has any question from the audience, would you like to raise your hand? Yes, sir.
I'd like to hear the candidates' ideas on how to increase the number of EMTs or people interested in becoming EMTs, whether it's in subsidizing training or whatever. How are they going to get these numbers? Because numbers are a real issue nationwide.
Thank you. So the question is, what would you do to really encourage the problems with keeping and attracting EMTs to the service?
I think we need to make it look as though and promote the model that we have as supportive. And they should want to be an EMT because they appreciate the job that it is. They want to help the community. But I think they also... again, as I mentioned, they need to know that whatever environment they're coming into as whatever facility they're working under is supportive of them. And I think the other thing that is a deterrent is the cost it takes to get your certification. We're all financially bound with things, and it's really hard to spend a lot of money to get a training to where we don't make a lot of money. And so I don't know the answer to that. I want us to be able to do better about lobbying at the legislature to make EMS services essential. And I think that we can come together as a board and honestly a community in EMS services to go to the legislature and say, like, we need funding because we're limited right now with the funding that we get. And until that changes, I don't know what's going to make an EMT want to come to Buffalo and do the services besides just the goodness out of their heart to volunteer. And I just, it's really going to be difficult as new people come in too because they don't have a lot of ties to Buffalo. And so I think, yeah, I just think that we need to be creative in how we do it. And those creative ways, I think we need to research a little bit more. And yeah, I think that's my answer to that.
Yeah. It would be a huge win if EMS could become an essential service, so I totally agree with that. That would help the compensation factor, and I think that's something that that's a huge part of retaining current talent, recruiting new talent, and the world's changing, and inflation, everything, but with that is what, you know, the price we're going to have to pay to keep and bring new people in. So that would be a huge help on that side of things. But when it comes to the training, it's become very it's a big commitment. The hours, the financial commitment, and then the testing at the end has gotten stricter. And so I do think there's some opportunity to petition the state to change some of those requirements and not necessarily make it, you know, too easy, but make it more accommodating so more people are willing to do it. And, you know, a lot of people have other jobs, whether they work in the insurance industry or they work for the city and have other careers that aren't necessarily great professional students. And a lot of the process now can be rather intimidating with the testing requirements and certain things. So I think there's some area to improve that side of things, make it a little more accommodating to get first responders in the door and kind of help them build their careers that way as well.
Some great points have been covered, and I'll just add one thing, and that's leadership. Leadership inspires people, and it motivates people, and they need to learn that it's an exciting career, it's a very meaningful and rewarding career, but there needs to be a culture that the team takes care of you and encourages you and helps you deal with the hard things. And so that involves leadership that understands the psychology and can be there to inspire and support these people. And we want to cultivate local people who care about the community, plan to stay here, already have a place to live, and that's going to create a more stable workforce.
Thank you. Is there another question? Yes.
I'd just like to know, I don't know whether other people know or not, but you give me, like, how many EMTs do you have are they on call for so many hours, or can they get paid for every call, or the hours they spend, or what?
Well, for the candidates, I'm not sure it's really fair to ask that question. I don't know, Dave, would you like to come up and answer for Buffalo EMS? There's no representative here, I think, from KC to describe that, but Carrie White may be able to explain that as to how it may work in KC. Dave, would you like to come and answer the question about how many EMTs there are and how the model works in Buffalo?
Thank you. Well, as Dr. Schuler explained, the people that work for Buffalo EMS also have other jobs, and we currently have 23 people that work for us, are on the payroll full or part-time, and tonight is a good example. You heard my pager go off earlier, and we had a two-car head-on collision. One of the cars was on fire. And in 8 minutes, we had two ambulances and five EMTs there. People that are at home with their families or at forums, and jump up and run wherever they when needed. And as Adam said, we've never really ever missed a call. And how are they compensated? A lot of them are on salary, but the salary is half or way less than half it would take to support those people and their families. So they work this job and they work as an EMT, and then they go on call at night. We have a night team tonight. We have four people on that night team, and one of them's here tonight, Sean Sullivan. Been a great EMT for us for years. And on the call tonight, we had Sean Sullivan, Dennis Thorson, Mary Shane Schrader, and a guy named Willie Barnum. And wham, bam, they're at the ambulance. And after hours, yes, they get paid for that. They get so much per call after hours. They're paid a pittance to be on call after hours, and then they get per call pay. And most of the EMTs, well, all EMTs, we try to have them on call 1 week a month and on night call 1 week a month. So 1 week a month, they go on call at 6 o'clock at night, and they're on until 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's kind of how it runs.
Do they stay at home then?
Yes.
Okay. And are there any paramedics on your staff?
We have one paramedic that visits with us from Gillette that comes over. And the paramedic question, from my point of view, I think it would be wonderful to have paramedics. Is it practical for Buffalo? Is it affordable for Buffalo? You know what I'd love is I'd love to have Dr. Shuler on every call that would go on. It'd raise my confidence, or Brittany, and or have an ER doc on call 24 hours a day to make these. It'd be great to have a neurosurgeon that lived in Buffalo when you needed that neurosurgeon and you didn't have to fly somewhere else to get him. But what's the incidence of that need? Is it affordable? And will that neurosurgeon keep his, you know, his training, his ability, his skills up to date doing one neurosurgery every 2 years?
Did I read right in the paper that there is one paramedic in KC and another one studying to be one? Or did I read that wrong?
I think that's a question that the KC Ambulance Service would need to answer for you. I don't see a representative here. Buffalo EMS is a private entity which is contracted by the Rural Healthcare District to deliver services in the northern part of the county, and KC is on a different service. We actually are fortunate to have Marie Miller, board member here. Maybe Marie, you'd like to come up and just describe some of that.
Well, as a board member, I don't know their rotation schedule or how many they have on at the time and all, but to answer your question, Crosby Taylor did finish his paramedic, and Michelle Chapman is in the process of studying to do that. They are having to go out of town to keep their certification up, and you know, that's another issue with the paramedics, is that there is not enough skills, just like Brittany, with opportunity to use their skills to keep up the training that they need to keep their certifications. So though they have to go somewhere else. Crosby is going to Gillette presently, and Michelle's going to Casper to do that. I just read an article not too long ago, and that they were talking about EMS in rural communities. And it is a challenge all over the United States to have the number, the quality, and to have the number of the EMTs. The thing that they talked about with paramedics is, yeah, just like Dave said, it'd be great to have Dr. Shuler or Brittany on your call with your paramedic. But rural communities across the country are struggling keeping paramedics because there's not enough action for them to keep their certification or their interest, to be honest with you. And also it's very expensive. And when we have limited income and we're only paid for when they use those services, that becomes a problem as well. And, you know, I personally, as a board member, am not opposed to that. And I'm proud of the fact that Crosby has gotten that certification and Michelle's working on it. But when you look at a whole system like we have up here and even down there, to sustain that, it would be very difficult financially. And we have all these EMTs that are highly trained, and to keep that interest as well. And like I said, it's a great thought. But and then also when you think about the number of calls that are out, so Dave shared that we have the call out tonight. There could easily be other calls. And what if one of, you know, the paramedics out on this call and is highly paid and not getting paid for that, but then we have a call that they, you know, could those skills could be used. I mean, you know, do you see what I'm saying there? That, so, like, it's a great thought, but I don't know from all that I've read and the articles that I've read, having that type of a system is probably not financially sustainable in our community. Anyway, and I do know that they have highly qualified staff that covers that. Before I went on the board, in an 8-year period, this is crazy, this is hard to believe, but in an 8-year period, my family alone had 12 calls. 12 calls. I was on each and every one of those calls with my father, my husband's uncle, my brother, and my son-in-law. And we could not have been more proud of the service that we got and satisfied with the service that we got with the current service that we have. So.
And Kate, I would say, I know Dr. Shuler, you know, analyzed the last 100 calls. I would say in my 7 years, just to echo that, my 7 years of service on the ambulance, I went back and probably could count 5, maybe 1 a year, so, you know, 5 or 7 calls where paramedic services could have been used, and there was maybe 1 call where it would have changed the outcome, and I would almost lean that there was none, that the outcome would have changed, so it, just to echo that.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everybody. I think we've covered a lot of the issues. I appreciate everybody's contribution. Thank you, especially candidates. Thank you to members of the public for being here and being interested. And with that, I will close this forum. So good night, everybody, and thank you.